Will you turn to Isaiah 40, please? Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to talk about the gospel before Christ died. For us, the gospel is the story of Jesus dying for our sins and rising again. So that event, the first Easter, his death and resurrection, that's at the center of the gospel in the book of Acts and also in the New Testament letters. And we would have trouble describing the gospel, the good news of our faith, without mentioning Christ's death for us and his resurrection. And that's fine. That's as it should be. But in Matthew 4:23, for example, we read, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. That's Matthew 4. It says almost the same thing in Matthew 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. So he's teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's not died for us, and he has not risen. So what is the gospel? Matthew thinks Jesus is preaching the gospel, and Jesus thinks he's preaching the gospel. What gospel is that? What good news is that? And we're talking about these things because of the Sermon on the Mount. Starting next week, we're going to go through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 to 7. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount begins with blessings on people in trouble. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. If you're poor in spirit or mourning, that's good news. So for just a few minutes, let's be curious about what gospel means when Jesus is just beginning his ministry. And to understand what he's talking about, we need to hear an Old Testament story again, and we need to read Isaiah. The Jewish exiles, that's where this starts. Last winter, we went through Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, those prophets, and each of those prophets had lots to say about the exile. So, about 600 years before Christ, the Babylonians came to Judah and ransacked it and Jerusalem, and they destroyed the temple, and they took many Jews captive to Babylon. That's the exile. And that was God's punishment because Israel repeatedly ignored the two basic requirements of their covenant with God. They would not love God, and they would not love their Jewish neighbors. They kept worshiping other gods, and they kept treating one another horribly. So, that's the exile, and Isaiah predicts that. And now, the last half of Isaiah was written to comfort and encourage the exiled Jews who were in Babylon. God had not forgotten them or rejected them. God still wanted to take care of them. So our three Isaiah scriptures were all prophecies to comfort captive Israelites. And these three texts all use the word gospel or good news. The first, that word comes from Isaiah, mostly from these three paragraphs in Isaiah. So first, we'll look at Isaiah 40. Good news, God is coming. This is Isaiah 40, verses 9 to 11. 9 to 11. Let's read. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him. His recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So, what is the good news? Lift up your voice and shout. Here is God. God is coming. The sovereign Lord is coming. That's the core. He's the sovereign Lord. He comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. That's why it's called the kingdom. God is coming with power to rule. This is a kingdom where God is coming to be king. And it will be a kind and tender kingdom. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So the good news is that God is coming to rule with power and his mighty arm, and he will tend his people like a gentle shepherd. That's good news. So that's our first paragraph, Isaiah 40. Isaiah 52 has our second paragraph. Isaiah 52, starting in verse 7. And the good news here is the same. God is returning. Let's read. Isaiah 52, 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Well, in slightly different words, this is the same basic story. The good news, the good tidings, are that your God reigns and is returning to his people. He will reign. He will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations. So again, it sounds like a kingdom. This is the good news of the kingdom. And again, it's a kind and wonderful return of God. He brings peace and salvation. People shout for joy. They burst into songs of joy because the Lord comforts his people. And the whole earth will see what he's doing. So these two paragraphs in Isaiah 40 and 52 are the foundation of what Isaiah understood the gospel to be. So when Luke says in chapter 3, with many other words, John the Baptist proclaimed the good news to them, this is what he has in mind. This is what John had in mind and what his audience understood him to be saying. And Jesus picked up with this right after John. Now, Isaiah 61 is our third paragraph, and Isaiah 61 takes this a little farther. So Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. There's gospel again. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So this servant song predicts a special servant of God whom God will anoint with the Holy Spirit and who bring God ways to his people. And it's pretty clear from the comfort and the good news here that this is talking about the same good news of the kingdom of God that we read in Isaiah 40 and 52. But what we learn here is that the first preacher of this good news will be God's special anointed servant, who is Jesus Christ. He will proclaim this, he will bind up the brokenhearted, and he will release the prisoners. So in the first two paragraphs we read, Isaiah 40 and 52, God himself would show up and do these things. But now we learn that God is going to anoint his special servant. And the servant will preach this good news. But not only will he proclaim it, God sends him to heal God's people and comfort and rescue them. So now turn to Luke 4. One more paragraph about gospel, and then we will pull this all together. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 16. So in this story, Jesus has just been tempted in the wilderness by the devil for 40 days. And after he was tempted, he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And now we start. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written in Isaiah 61. And he, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That is a remarkable moment, a stunning moment. Isaiah 40 and 52 told us good news, that God is going to come to his people and do a great and wonderful work. He was going to rule powerfully and kindly, and he would comfort his people and rescue them and give them reasons to sing for joy. And Isaiah 61 told us that the spearhead of this great work of God, this gospel of God, was God's special servant who was chosen by God and anointed with the Spirit to bring this kingdom. And in Luke 4, Jesus reads those very words to them. He looks up Isaiah 61 and reads it in the synagogue, and he sits down and said, "Today is that day, and I am that servant, and you are watching and hearing the fulfillment of Isaiah 61 in this synagogue right now." Well, that did not end well in Nazareth, but that's not our point today. The gospel we hear is that Christ died for our sins and rose the third day, and we respond by trusting him and following him, putting our lives in his hands. And that, my brothers and sisters, takes us back into the good news that Isaiah wrote about. It is the same message. It's become more focused. It's much clearer now what we do to get on board. But it's the same gospel. It's the same gospel that's preached to us and that we follow. Christ as Lord and Savior is still Isaiah's gospel. It is the rule of God and the tenderness of the gentle shepherd, and its comfort for those who mourn, and it is all of that. So the gospel has become more focused on the servant himself, as to how exactly God is going to restore his people and bless the Gentile. So the servant has become the center, but it is of the same gospel. So where are we going here? Three things. First of all, the Beatitudes are the gospel. This is the real reason I'm going through Isaiah here, is to connect the gospel in the Old Testament with the Beatitudes. Matthew 5:3-10 has the Beatitudes. In Matthew 4, we read that Jesus proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. That is, "The sovereign Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor and to comfort all who mourn." That is what Isaiah talked about. And the Beatitudes begin, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn." That is the good news. God's blessing on the poor in spirit, his blessing on those who mourn. Jesus, in the Beatitudes, could not be clearer that he is bringing what Isaiah talked about. He might as well have read 61 and said, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing." He is simply obeying the scripture. He's saying what the scripture and the Spirit tell him to say. So the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes begins as a clear statement, a clear fulfillment of Isaiah's good news. That's the first thing I want to make clear. Secondly, blessed is the one who does not fall away because of me. That line is in Matthew 11 and in Luke 7. Blessed is the one who does not fall away because of me. Jesus knew his good news would also disappoint people. Jesus actually said this line to John the Baptist's followers to take back and repeat to John. John told King Herod that Herod's life was immoral, and since he was king of the Jews, he needed to clean up. John did the same thing to Herod that Nathan 1,000 years earlier did to King David about around his immorality with Bathsheba. But King Herod was not King David. Herod put John in prison. John himself had preached the gospel of Isaiah. It says, freedom for the captives and release from prison. The song we read speaks of that. Freedom for the captives, release from prison. John was in prison. He was a captive, and he's been for a while now. And Jesus was going around on his ministry, but he wasn't helping John. Where's the good news? John doubted. He sent messengers to Jesus. Jesus, are you the one? Should we look for someone else? And Jesus told the messengers to tell John about the good things that were happening. And then he said, blessed is the one who does not fall away because of me. Disappointment. Folks, Jesus disappointed John big time. And Jesus knew it. Jesus understood, and he was not going to fix this. And he knew John was not alone. People listening to me right now have disappointment in their lives like that. And why don't you take this line as Jesus talking to you about your disappointments? Blessed is the one who does not fall away because of me. Jesus did what he was called to do and what he was supposed to do, and he could feel and still feels how disappointing this can be to some. Jesus knew we would have reason to expect more from him, as John the Baptist expected more, but Jesus had other plans. Matthew 5 has 9 Beatitudes. And for me, this in Matthew 11 is the 10th Beatitude. Blessed is the one who does not fall away because of me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, Jesus brings the kingdom in 2 installments. His first coming brought forgiveness and the Holy Spirit and the oneness of the body of Christ and a guaranteed inheritance. That's the first coming. The second installment is at his second coming. That's when the good news of the kingdom takes over completely. No disappointment then. It'll be like we are dreaming. Excuse me. Nevertheless, the gospel is the best news ever. Brothers and sisters, Old Testament and New Testament are agreed on this. Those who love God, trust God, serve Him, follow the Christ He gave are the most fortunate people on the planet. This good news overwhelms everything else on the planet. We read Psalm 1 at Zoom midweek this week. Blessed are those who pursue God's ways. They are not like the chaff blown away by the wind. They are like trees planted by water, trees that bear fruit when they're supposed to, trees that always bear fruit when they are supposed to. Why? Why are they like that? Because they're blessed, because the Sovereign Lord watches over us. He's our shepherd. He carries us when we need it, and His goodness and mercy always follow us. At elders' meeting this week, we read Colossians 1, 11 and 12. I pray that you will be strengthened with all power, Paul wrote that church, according to the might of God's glory, to show all endurance and patience. How does God's great and glorious power show itself in our lives if He answers this prayer? God's great and glorious power shows itself in all endurance and patience. I pray that you will be strengthened with power according to the might of God's glory to show all endurance and patience. And the very next line, continuing the prayer for us, is that we would joyfully give thanks to the Father who qualified us to share in the inheritance of His holy people. He rescued us from the authority of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son He loves. Look in the mirror and say these 3 things about yourself. God qualified me to share in the inheritance of His holy people. That's the first one. God qualified me to share in the inheritance of his holy people. Two, God rescued me from the authority of darkness. God rescued me from the authority of darkness. Three, God transferred me to the kingdom of the Son he loves. God transferred me to the kingdom of the Son he loves. That's good news. And folks, though we have troubles, this makes a huge difference in our lives already now. These things shape us and steer us. They're part of his goodness and mercy that follow us through life. We have heard the good news, folks, my brothers and sisters, and God helped us grasp it. We could see the light in the gospel, and we wanted it. God stood in our path so we would find him, and we are now the followers of his Son. And the best thing that could possibly happen to any human has happened to us. The good news that Isaiah promised, that John and Jesus preached, has reached us right here in 2021. So, let's be thankful. That's the only way to respond to scriptures about the good news, to the gospel. Giving thanks is how we walk through the door into enjoying what we have in God. When we say these things to each other, as I'm doing now, the door gets opened. But to walk through, we thank God. And that's why God says to give thanks, and that's why Paul prays that his people would give thanks, so we can walk through and taste what God has done for us. Amen. Let's pray. O God, our Father, the good news has come to us. Your great work on earth has come to us. You tend your flock like a shepherd, and now that's us. You gather the lambs in your arms, and you carry us close to your heart. You gently lead those that have young. And we are in that. You stood in our path, God. You were found by those not seeking you. And so this has come to us. And you have rescued us from the authority of darkness. You have moved us into the kingdom of the Son you love. You have sealed us for yourself and promised an inheritance. And we are so glad, God. We praise you and we thank you. Amen. Will you stand, please, for a doxology? We will give glory to God. To him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.